I know Pastor would rather me not use the handheld after the headset after it got damaged, but if you know me, you know I've got a shake to my hand, which is a testimony in the making. But for some reason, when I start preaching, the shake gets worse, so I'd prefer to have a headset, or I'd be doing this the whole time. Are you a father here today? If you're a father, raise your hand. If you're a father, I just want to pray God's richest blessing over you. I pray that he get more and more of your heart every day, and that he impart into you the wisdom to grow your kids in the way they should go. Are you a son or a daughter today? I pray God's richest blessings over you today, and that you give more and more of your heart to him, and that he shows you his faithfulness. Amen? All right, so I have some unfinished business this morning here with the Lord that I've got to take care of. It's actually part of the message, but a while back I had shared a testimony, and I remember when the Lord said, get up and share the testimony, I said to him, but it's not a testimony yet, because I was just dropped in the midst of this trial. And I've been meditating on why he asked me to get up and share the testimony before it seemed to me that it was a testimony. And what I've come to realize is that I was in the midst of a trial. And because of what he did, it was his way of telling me, this is going to turn out okay. This is going to be a testimony. And I'll tell you, I really had to stand on that through the entire trial. But when I got up to share my testimony, I said, you know, I feel like I'm in between a rock and a hard place right now. My biggest fear is to be unemployed and not be able to take care of my family. Anybody with me on that? And I was going through a trial. I got a new boss at work. And this boss was a business analyst, and he was a very technical guy with data, very scientific. And about 3 months after he started working with me, he had a meeting with me, and he said, look, I know you've done a lot of good things over the years, but in order for us to get to the future we need to get to, we need to start doing some what they call advanced scientific techniques. And I just didn't have the training. And he said to me, it's not going to work. I'm going to have to hire somebody else. I'm going to have to replace you. And I basically said, you know, do what you have to do. No hard feelings. I understand. And that was the end of the conversation. So that was that Sunday when the Lord said, get up and share your testimony. And I'm thinking, this is not a testimony. So I did anyways. I got up and I shared. And I shared, I was between a rock and a hard place. But then over the next weeks, I had to walk out what God was showing me. And what God was showing me was, you know, that I had to honor the authority, even though it was the last thing in my flesh I wanted to do. I started to pray for this new boss. I started to pray that he would be successful and that God would reveal himself to him. And because this guy was just, you know, young and cocky, he was really ticking a lot of people off. So there were pockets of people that were speaking really badly about this guy. And I had every opportunity to jump in and start talking just as badly about this guy. But I knew that wasn't what God was calling me to do, so I would defend him. I would ask people, you know, cut him some slack. He's young. He's learning. At the same time, I'm thinking he's replacing me. And every time I saw a new person come into work, I thought, is that the guy that's going to replace me? When am I going to get the Friday call that this is your last day? But as I let those things settle in, I started to get depressed and anxious. And the only thing I really had to stand on was God when he told me to share the testimony. So I just would go out into my truck for my half an hour lunch and just say, God, I trust you. If this is going to be a testimony, that's got to be a good thing, right? I mean, it's a testimony. It's a good thing. It talks about your faithfulness. So this has got to turn out good. I have to believe this is going to turn out good. So I trust you. And God, help me to respond in the way that I should respond through it. And it went on for weeks. And I got invited to a meeting. And when I saw the participants of the meeting, I said, well, this is not a meeting that I should be invited to, because it was the plant directors from all the different plants across the world. And so I called my boss and I said, look, you know, I got invited to this meeting. I think it's a mistake. You know, what should I do? Just decline it? And he says, no, you need to go. So I went, and like I normally do, I look for a corner seat somewhere in the back, because that's my comfort zone. And I kept trying to grab the seat in the back corner, and they kept trying to drag me and pull me to the front. And they'd pull me to the front, I'd sit there, I'd wait for them to look away, and then I'd go back and sit in the back corner. And they kept pulling me back. And so finally the boss of all of these plant directors comes in and he starts talking, and you know, we're here today to recognize, you know, one employee out of 5,500 employees who have just shown an exemplary work record, good ethics. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm looking to see who they're talking about. And the guy, they're French, so he said, you know, we're here to recognize Monsieur Roy. And I'm thinking, oh, there's another Roy in the room. Where is he? And that's when they were telling me, go, go. And I went up, and they were honoring me across the entire global network for a particular project that I had just completed, saved millions of dollars. But I remember when I shared the testimony, I remember saying to God, I'll share it, but can you just give me something tangible to share with people afterwards? And I don't even know why I asked that. It was kind of like, all right, you asked me to do this, I'm asking you to do that. Give me something tangible. So he gave me something tangible. You know, this is what they gave me. And it's not about this. Really, it's not about this. Okay? This is the faithfulness of God. Right? Here I am worried about losing my job. Then I get recognized for something and I get this, something tangible that I can share with you. But, and I'll be honest with you, I struggled with it, because I'm thinking, how do you go from here, where you're worried about your job, to here, where you're being honored for your work performance? I knew it was God. But then we know that God always does more than we ask, right? So a few weeks later, they gave me this for a totally different project that I worked on. And nobody else in the building has even one of these. Come on. I mean, glory to God, right? When I look at those, I see the glory of God, the faithfulness of God, when you do it His way, right? So, that's not it. Since then, I've been offered 3 different promotions, and I had to seek the Lord, because who knows, maybe that's my testimony. Maybe my promotion is my testimony. But I sought the Lord and He said no. Every time He said no, no, no. I'm taking you in a different direction. And so I went back and I said, I'm not going to do it. God's taken me in a different direction. The funny thing is, I could have been that boss, but I was offered that job, but I had to come under this guy to go through this thing. Even the plant manager said to me, you do it to yourself. You could have been the boss. Instead, you chose to keep yourself in that place, and that's why you're going through some of the stuff you're going through. I said, no, it's because it's God's plan for me. And he knows why I'm going through this stuff. You don't, I don't. So that's my conclusion of the testimony that I started a while back. I promised God I would do that, so now that's done. Amen? So the next thing I want to do, because I kept thinking, all right, so where are we going from here? I'm going to get up and I'm going to share my testimony and, you know, what's the next thing? And he wouldn't let me off the hook for testimony, testimony, testimony. So what I'm going to talk about today is testimonies. I think testimonies deserve about 20 minutes of discussion, don't you think? So let's go first to the definition of a testimony. It's a firsthand authentication of a fact or evidence, a solemn declaration usually made orally by a witness under oath in response to interrogation by a lawyer or authorized public official. It's an open acknowledgement. It's a public profession of religious experience. So that's a testimony. How many of us would leave $1 million laying around for somebody to just pick up and walk away with? Would anybody do that? Are your testimonies worth more than $1 million? Are they worth less than $1 million? I'll tell you what, testimony. If you have a testimony, how many here have a testimony of God's faithfulness? You know, you can never be the same after you have an experience like that. It changes you, and it's supposed to. It's God's transforming power at work in us to do a course correction in our life and get us back on track. You know, our testimonies are really the handcrafted milestones. So God has a plan for us. We know that, right? God has a plan for us, and God has laid out these milestones. You know, it's like if you were going to plan a trip to California, you'd say, all right, we're going to stop the first day here. We're going to drive 800 miles a day, and you plot out and say, I'm going to stay here, then we're going to stay here, then we're going to stay here. And then you got to figure out the details in between. Well, our testimonies are really those milestones that God uses to grow us, to increase our faith, to bring us to a place where when he asks us to do this, it's not quite a stretch because he showed us his faithfulness in that. You see it? Testimonies are supposed to be built on. Testimonies should not be forgotten. So they're his milestones to get us to where we need to be. When you're a baby Christian, your testimonies, they're pretty powerful testimonies. But here's the thing. The first testimonies are a teaching opportunity. It's the Lord showing you if you're encountering this kind of a problem and you respond in this way, I will bless you. So what does he do with the first few testimonies? He brings you to the situation. He causes you to respond the way you're supposed to respond. And then he gives you the blessing. Not many of us realize that that's what he does. But then what happens is as we mature, the testimony relies more on us to apply the teaching and less on him. Do you believe that? Who doesn't believe that? Don't raise your hand. It's true. That's part of God's growing process. He does what he has to do at the beginning to show us and to teach us. And then over time, it requires more of us to respond in the right way, to do the right thing, and to get to the other side of it. So it's God's handcrafted way to get us to where we need to be. That's point one. Point two, I was sitting meditating on this message Friday night. Everybody else had gone to bed. I was just kind of sitting there and meditating on the message. And I remembered the testimony I shared. I remember saying I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. And right there, I heard God say, remember what I did to Moses? And I thought, oh, that's kind of a weird, remember what you did to Moses? And then he showed me, you know, in order for Moses to see or to get a glimpse of God, what did he have to do? He had to be put in the cleft of a rock, right? Now, if you ever see a cleft of the cleft of a rock, it's literally between a rock and a hard place. So I thought that was kind of interesting. How many of us have gotten our greatest glimpses of God through our trials? Right? That's the way it happens, unfortunately, or fortunately. I remember when I was going to the hospital and I was going through that donut thing. What is that, a CAT scan? MRI? And I remember I was like a kid. I was afraid. I didn't want to go in this thing. And God just put his hands right up to my face so that I couldn't focus on all the electronic stuff. And he just showed me, he just said, focus on me, focus on me. I could almost feel his breath. And when you go through that kind of stuff, you have fond memories of the trial. You don't remember the negativity. You don't remember the anxiety. You don't remember the fear. You look back. And you say, wow, that was just so cool. I felt you so close. You were right there. So when it says in James, consider it pure joy when you encounter trials, you probably have to go through a few before you can do that. But hopefully after a few, you can do that. Point number three. The enemy is always trying to rewrite our history so he can impact our destiny. And I won't go into it again, but I've shared the testimony with you before where, you know, an angel of the Lord literally grabbed the wheel of my car and steered me out of harm's way, or I would have been in a head-on collision with a truck and I would have been killed. That's what I believe. Well, the enemy, it was weird because it was 30 years later. This is one of my greatest testimonies. This is one where when I'm struggling with doubt, I go back there and all the doubt is gone. There are others, but when I'm deep in it, that's the one I go to. It pulls me out of the pit. And I'm sitting there at 10 o'clock at night at my house on the couch, and the enemy said, you know, you saw that truck coming. And I'm thinking, I wasn't even thinking about that. But the enemy must have thought I was in a place where I would release my grip on that testimony. 30 years later, maybe I didn't remember the facts too well. You know, maybe I did see the truck coming. No, I didn't. And I think I've told you before, that's when I went and wrote down all of my testimonies. I wrote them down because, you know, the mind can fail us. You know, maybe 30 years from now, if he says, you saw the truck coming, I might buy it. You know what I'm saying? You know, as long as we still have breath, the enemy can steal our testimony. And if he can't prevent the testimony, he'll try to steal it. And when I say prevent the testimony, when I was going through that trial at work, I had a Christian brother who had worked with me and moved on, called me up from a company in Leominster who did a similar work. And he said to me, hey, brother, I think this is the Lord had put it on my heart to call you and offer you this job. And I'm thinking, well, I'm going to lose this one. So this is it. This is it. This is the provision of God. But I went to the Lord and I said, is this the job? Should I take it? I didn't get an answer right away. So I didn't know whether to take that as yes or no. So I didn't call the guy back. He's calling me, what do you think? And the Lord knew I was on a deadline, so finally he started to speak to me because I really needed to know. I've never taken a job or left a job without his advice. I've seen too many people take a job for more money and more convenience and end up losing it a short time later. So the Lord showed me how this guy had when he was working with me, he came to me one day and he said, we work for the same boss. And he said to me, I need to go to human resources because my boss, your boss, just sent me some child pornography. And I said, whoa, that's not good. I said, so you need to, yes, you need to go to human resources. But then I said, well, what are you talking about? Because I knew the guy. I'm thinking, that doesn't sound like him. I said, why don't you show me what you're talking about? So he pulled up the picture, and it was a picture of a baby in a diaper with a cute little caption underneath. It wasn't child pornography. So I said to him, what's your motivation for going to human resources? And he said, well, I really want his job. I said, well, I'll tell you what, if you go forward with this, not only will you not get his job, but you won't even get to keep yours. He went. 3 months later, he was fired, walked out the door. This is my Christian brother. The Lord showed me that, and I immediately had no peace about listening to this guy tell me what the voice of the Lord was saying for me. And so I said, Lord, I'm going to say no. And if that's not what I should say, when I go to say no, you just force me to say yes. I mean, come on, it's God we're talking about. He can do that, right? Just don't let me say no. Let it be like, yes. But I called and I said no. But here's the thing. That seemed like the perfect opportunity. It was $20,000 more a year. It was 20 minutes closer to home. It seemed like the perfect thing. But it was the enemy's wretched hand trying to hand me something that if I took it, would not have been good. But that's what he does. He tries to prevent. See, sometimes the enemy can see where we're going better than we can see where we're going. And he can see a testimony developing before we can see the testimony developing. And so I didn't make the connection. I thought that was the Lord's provision. And when he said, no, I hope I'm really hearing you. The enemy is always at work trying to rob you, kill you. And we have to be wise. Right? I mean, not everything that seems good and lines up with what we would think is the perfect thing is the provision of God. I'll be honest with you. When he said don't go, I'm thinking, well, that means I need to stay under this pressure. But that's what you're saying, so I'm just going to do it. Whatever happens, happens. The only reason I could do that is because I have other testimonies that I could draw on to say, I may not understand you, I may not know where you're going with this, but I know you're for me. I know you're for me. You really haven't let any weapon formed against me prosper. Come on, is that your testimony? He is. Come on. My wife said, why don't you do a Father's Day message? I said, I am. I'm doing a Father's Day message. Amen? So when you go through a trial and you come out and you have a testimony should reflect some kingdom principle. It shouldn't just be, it made me feel good. It worked out exactly the way I would hope that it did. It should reflect some kingdom principle. So I started to reflect on some of the different principles that might have been reflected in my testimony. And one of them was, you know, when you honor the authorities that are in your life. You know, there's a lot of scripture that talks about the blessing of God if you honor the authority in your life. So that's a principle. You honor the authorities, and good things come back. In one, it says, if you do good to those from the same, you will receive praise. And since then, that boss has come to me, and he's apologized to me. He He said, you know, the only reason you and I were even able to move forward is because of the way you responded to me. It was interesting that he would say that. And since then, like I said, I've declined 3 promotions, but he's come to me and he's asked for prayer. He said, you and I really feel like you and I are friends now. And I'll be honest with you, inside I'm thinking, well, I'm not there yet. But that's where he was. He's thinking, I'm really feeling close. I have this thing going on in my life. Will you pray? And I said, well, God answers prayers. And he says, I know he does. There's a door I never would have thought would have been opened with this guy. So honoring authority, there's a principle there that's reflected in the testimony, right? Being humble. I'll tell you, you know from me, I've said it. I am so far beyond my natural abilities at my job because God brought me there. And so when you know you're that far out on the limb, it's very easy to be humble. Because you're not taking credit for anything. You know it's not you. So humility has not been a problem for me. But there's a principle here when it talks about humbling yourself and then how God will exalt you. And let me tell you something. You ever see somebody try to exalt themselves? It's like, get out of here. Get out of my face. You probably think even a little bit less of them than you did before. But when God exalts you, you are exalted. You are exalted. So there's a couple of principles that are reflected in that testimony. And I would just, so the last thing I'll share about that is I received a 16-year anniversary card from the plant manager and had a discussion with him, and he said to me, as long as these doors are open, you will have a job here. The only way you're going anywhere is if these doors close. Who gets that kind of, nobody even wants us to say anything like that, right? Because we're an employment at will state, so you know, nobody says that. And then the final point I want to share is, you know, there's a reason why we ask for testimonies. Every once in a while, we'll say, are there any testimonies? Why do you think that is? Well, what does it say in Revelation? Revelation 12. Revelation 10:12. Oh man, I'm in between. All right, Revelation 12. And then it says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren have been thrown down. He who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him being the enemy, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And then it goes on to say, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. I think that's important because a lot of times that's what it's going to take to get the testimony. You got to not love your life. You got to not be willing to change. You got to be willing to let God be God, and whatever he says is what you do. And sometimes in those testimonies, it's all you can do is just keep seeking him. They're saying, God, what do you want to do? God, how am I supposed to respond? Right? Think about it. I could have stood up here and said, God made a way where there seems to be no way. I got a job in Leominster, $20,000 more, 20 miles shorter. Right? And everybody probably would have got up and clapped and praised the Lord. And it wasn't even him. So again, the testimony really should reflect some kingdom principle. It should, you know, it should reflect some cost for you. Right? It should reflect some cost, whether that be dying to the flesh and praying for somebody when you want to curse them, defending somebody when you want to be the one to sling the arrows. It's like the vital signs, one of the vital signs of the church and the Christian walk. You have any testimonies? Do you have any testimonies? If you don't, you have to question where you're at. You know, you can have a testimony a lot more frequently than we do. I love that song. We didn't sing it today, but we sang it last week. You know, when we remind ourselves of all that he has done. When we're going through our trials, a lot of times, that's the only way we're going to get through the trial, is to remind ourselves of what he has already done. Because the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to uphold you today and then not feel like it tomorrow. Is he? So, you know, your testimonies are worth more than if you stacked all the bills, all the gold, all the silver, everything this world calls valuable. If you stacked it all in one place, a single testimony that transforms your life is worth 100 times more than that. So I want to encourage you today. I'm not going to be here for the next couple weeks. We're going to be on vacation. But before I left, I really felt the burning to just encourage today. If you're going through a trial right now, don't talk about your trial to everybody that's around you. Don't give power to the trial. Don't mask what God is trying to say to you in your trial. Right? Pastor said it many times. Seek him in the trial. You think you'll find him? Do you need to find him? He is faithful. He is faithful. I love the songs that where we say, I trust in you. Because there were times when all I could do was go sit in my truck and go, I trust in you, I trust in you, I trust in you, I trust in you. And for a half an hour, that's all I said. But when I came out of that vehicle, I was not the same person that went into that vehicle. Whew. I felt my strength come back. I felt my faith come back. Do you ever encourage yourself in the faith? Sometimes if you're not the one doing it, there isn't anybody there to do it for you. And the enemy will be glad to help you in that moment of time, right? He'll be glad to jump right in and kick you when you're down. And it may even seem good and feel good to the flesh. Hey, this is good. But it's not good. So I want to encourage you today. If you're going through a trial, God is there. God has the way out for you. And don't be so distant from him that you're willing to latch on to the first thing that seems good. Because it could take you in 180 degrees from the way that you should go. Every time the plant manager says to me, you could have been the boss. I thought to myself, yeah, but I wouldn't have come to know more of my God. Every time we have a testimony, we know more about him. We know more about him, right? And that's worth more than anything, isn't it? So I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to make a declaration to you that you've got a testimony in the making. Whatever it is that you're going through right now, no matter how bleak, no matter how horrible it seems, this is a testimony in the making. Will you receive that? If you receive that, that means now you have to do something with it. And that means you're going to have to take your thoughts captive. So when the doubt and the anxiety and the fear start to creep in, you're going to have to push it back. And by pushing it back, that's exercising your faith. And when you exercise your faith, God will never disappoint you. Amen? That's all I have to say today. Thank you for being patient with me.